All your favorite letters. CFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL. All on the RPS. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
KBO. FF. It's Football Friday.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody. The hashtag RP show. We're ready to roll with football today. I'm excited. I'm in a good mood. How about you?
I'm in a great mood.
You should be.
Yeah.
Why?
Why should I be?
Yeah, well, I shouldn't be because I was vandalized last night. I'm going to talk about that again. It's been a rough stretch.
Was it eggs?
It looks like eggs, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, it was, if you can believe, it was, we had a little army gathering last night, and when I came out, I thought a bird had crapped all over my car.
Right.
Like, I mean, a big bird.
A pterodactyl.
A big bird. On Big Bird, on my Jeep, and I get closer, it was like a custard pie.
What?
Initially, and it was another guy, retired Major Brad.
Yeah.
Was with me. He goes, oh, my car got it too. So it wasn't specifically targeted at me, but first we thought it was a meringue pie. Then we settled on a custard pie. There's eggs in it for sure.
Somebody have a taste?
Oh, but I thought about it. So you wouldn't think I'd be in that good of a mood. However, I just put on my Instagram story the other day for my recovery account. Don't let idiots ruin your day. I got to walk the walk.
Exactly.
So whatever. Cleaned it off. Gave me something to do. Lynch! It's live up here. Man. Everybody's in a good mood today. Well, John has been awarded. If you go to my Facebook, our Instagram with the show, the first Rockstar Supply Chain Rockstar of the Day hat. So he'll be wearing it when he comes on set in 20 minutes time.
Awesome.
Okay, anyways, enough of all this. Are you ready to go with the quick six show topics here on this Football Friday? Because a lot of the things are football related, just in sports in general that I can see. Our guest today, John Frenzy, as we mentioned, the Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster, Mike Pinball Clemens, the general manager of the Toronto Argonauts, is going to be joining us live from the T-Dot. Yo Murphy, Grey Cup champion with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and I believe he won a Super Bowl with the St. Louis Rams. He's going to be joining us from Tampa Bay. Yo Murphy. Can't wait for that chat. And Dylan Guerin, goaltender of the Kamloops Blazers, as the Dub continues to line us up with some of their best players. And I love the fact that it's goalies because we're the smartest people. So to the quick six show topics. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Number one, the CFL Hub City is picking up steam. It's really starting to pick up steam. Have you noticed?
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking that they're going to be playing?
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
I'm quite optimistic now. I am. The more you hear about it, the more optimism there is, and there's more reasons to believe that the CFL will be playing. So, and why do I want to not believe that, right? I want to believe it.
You want to be positive. It costs nothing to be positive. I was coming up the stairs this morning with Frenzy, and he was mentioning just the thought of there being no CFL football. Well, doesn't maybe look like we have to worry about that. It was Monday night, I fielded that call from the CFL front office guy who was so optimistic that they were going to play. And I didn't even ask when, where, or how. I just hope that's the case. But to point, well, the other thing on point one, I watched the three down video, which my wife confused with Three Down Nation. So one of the two has to change their name. It was the three downs with Farhan and Dave Naylor. But it's not Three Down Nation.
Right.
Somebody needs to change.
Yeah.
This country's not big enough for two three downs. Lynch liked that one. In the report, they said Regina and Winnipeg aren't slam dunks for quarantine cities for the CFL. Did you see it?
Yep.
Edmonton really wants to be. Calgary's been mentioned. And they said a Western Canadian city that's a non-CFL market.
Whoa.
What do you think?
Saskatoon?
That would be my pick.
Fort McMurray.
That was my other pick.
Kamloops.
Definitely not Brandon.
Yeah. Maybe in the Okanagan.
Lynch! You'll be on in 15 minutes.
That's twice.
That's twice. So, hey, what is the Western Canadian city that's a non-CFL market? We're thinking that it is Saskatoon.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. But point two, Arash Madani reporting at sportsnet.ca. That at least two CFL teams aren't sure they even want to play this year at all. It's a pretty good report by Arash. He texted the link to me. I read it, and it says that the three community-owned teams, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Edmonton, all want to play. Some of the other teams are either corporately owned or privately owned by a single owner. He didn't say who those teams were. It's got everybody guessing. Is it BC? Is it Hamilton? Is it Montreal? I don't know who it would be, but my heart sank when I heard that. It's like, here's everybody rowing in the one direction, tugging on the same rope. And there's two guys on the other end of the rope that are just mucking it all up.
Yeah. And that's tough. It's tough when you're, you know, in your own house too, right? Of the CFL, when you got two guys working against you potentially that aren't interested. They're not going to come out publicly and say, we don't want to play football. But they're going to be working that way behind the scenes.
Yeah, they're not going to say it publicly. But, you know, and I'm enjoying. The good thing here is that it's got people across the country talking CFL more than maybe ever before. And, for instance, people are saying maybe it's David Brayley with BC. And maybe he just wants to cut his losses and pull the pin on the season. And people are saying, well, why would Brayley do all these interviews in Vancouver and talk about it and say that they have to play if he doesn't actually want to play? That would be very underhanded double agent stuff by David Brayley that I don't think he's capable of. So we'll be talking about that today. I roll into point three. ESPN's get up this morning saying the NFL coach on the hottest seat, the guy with the most pressure on him in the NFL this year, is Mike McCarthy of my Dallas Cowboys. Who's the CFL coach with the most pressure on him this year? I want you all to think about it. And you viewers too. And you actually can throw all your sticks in the middle here in the rollout, and we'll come up with the top four to go on our Twitter poll today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Because the first guy that came to mind to me was Craig Dickinson, obviously. Whether they were to host the Grey Cup or not, it's just the hottest seat always in the CFL is right here. Yeah. Orlando Steinauer of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, obviously, 15-3 season, record-setting season last year in Hamilton as a rookie head coach, and then they don't show up in the Grey Cup. That automatically leaves a lot of pressure in 2020 for Orlando. And then the third, we all agreed on Ryan Dinwiddie with the Argos, rookie head coach, biggest market, and just a lot of pressure on him. I think we all circled in on that.
Mm-hmm.
But who's the fourth?
There's so many guys who could be part of this conversation.
There's pressure on all of them.
There's pressure on everyone. And I look at the teams that with the most pressure, and they all have new coaches. You know, Rick Campbell in BC, Scott Milanovich in Edmonton. Two teams with good rosters that are ready to compete, but yet they're rookies. Paul Lapolis, second time, you know, now in Ottawa as the head coach coming off that Grey Cup as the coordinator. There's a lot of pressure there to bring that offensive magic and reignite the Ottawa Redblacks. You know, Kahari did some great things. If he doesn't continue to move forward, right, they're going to start asking questions. If he takes a big step backwards for Orlando, I think he's got a year. I think, you know, whatever happens in Hamilton this year, I think Orlando's safe, you know, except if they, you know, for some reason only win, like, you know, a couple of games.
Yeah. But we're not talking about who's going to get fired. Mike McCarthy's not going to get fired. Look how long Jason Garrett got in Dallas. Doesn't mean there's not a ton of pressure on them.
That's right.
Brian Snow, the Snowman's watching in Terre Haute, Indiana, and says he'll go with Steinauer. I'm just looking for four. And we've got the three, Steinauer, Dickinson, Craig,
and Dinwiddie.
And Ryan Dinwiddie. We're looking for the fourth. Somebody mentioned Dave Dickinson over there in Calgary. Garnet in North Battleford mentioned that. I think Dave, you know, Calgary, that doesn't seem to me like there's a ton of pressure. You know you're going to have a great team. He's got the blessing of his general manager. Dave Dickinson's name didn't even come up. Rick Campbell in BC. Privately owned team. Most highest paid quarterback and marquee player in the league probably in Mike Riley. And it's his first year there. I would probably go with Rick Campbell.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go too, because you have the quarterback and everything. And Nick Lewis has come. He said Hamilton's going to win the East. The more I hear it, I kind of brushed off Orlando Steinauer. But the more you talk about it, everyone's just anointing them as this super team. And they're going to win the East. And, man, if they're not, there's a lot of pressure to deliver on that. When everybody's expecting you to be the man, you better show up and be the man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure there.
There is, but if you believe you are the man, there's not much pressure there at all. Can you guys put the comment up from Jack watching in Vulcan, Alberta, because I want to read that. I think we've settled on, I feel like we've settled on our four, but a few people are saying Mike O'Shea, and for good reason. Jack says, All of the on-again, off-again CFL season talk is what is creating anxiety and confusion in the midst of an already stressful COVID pandemic. All we have is today, so live for the now. Accept the fact we don't have football today. Maybe this fall, maybe not. Live in the moment. Well, I'm with you, Jack. I wish everybody would listen to that, but it's still a panicked crisis situation for most people, and they don't know how to act amidst it. You're right. That's what they should do. They just don't really seem to want to listen to that.
But I do believe in that, and I think with Randy Ambrosi coming out with a plan and saying, look, if we're going to start, it's going to be September. So now we're not expecting any games. There won't be games before September. So I can go about my summer. I can get on the paddleboard. I can go golfing.
Take a breath.
We can do what we want to do. And no matter what, the summer won't be ruined now because we've got football to look forward to in the fall and everything else. If for some reason the CFL doesn't happen, that's only going to ruin my fall, right? Because I'm not expecting it in the summer. It's not part of the summer of 2020, so I can just go about life and not have to worry about if the CFL is playing or not this summer.
Hall of Famer in waiting, Nick Lewis is watching, number 82, Stampeders great, says, Orlando is a great coach and person. His players love him, just like O'Shea. Great doesn't mean that there's not a hella lot of pressure on Orlando Steinauer and Hamilton. And you know that, Nick, as well as I do. Our technical producer, Ryan, mentioned Mike O'Shea and the pressure on him to repeat, given the pieces they've lost. Listen, we understand there's pressure on all of them. All of them. It's just we're trying to nail down the foremost. Friends, here, you got some thoughts on that? Are you ready to talk about it?
Yeah,
he's ready when he comes in after the break. Okay. After the first break. Point four. Twitter is ablaze with the George Floyd talk out of Minneapolis, and it's just a tough one. I got to be honest, I have no opinion on it. I don't have a racist bone in my body, and I just don't get where they're coming from. Deron had a really good point yesterday as a guy who spent so much time in both countries. People in Canada are saying, oh, look at America. Oh, the problems they have. Oh, we're so free in Canada. And Deron goes, Canadians have racial undertones too. They just hide it a lot better. As a guy that would know. So I just don't have an opinion. Nakas Onyeka, who we were becoming very close, very fast, the new Rider linebacker, former Argo, tweeted this morning that all that's in the news is the Blues. And he's right. It's also depressing. So I said, hey, watch our show for 2 hours. At least snap you out of the funk for a while.
Exactly.
And that's why I don't want to spend a ton of time on this topic because everybody else is spending all week on it. It's just sad.
It's a good way to put it. It is. It's just a sad situation. We don't want to see it happen. We don't want to see it continue. We want to do what we can to make sure it stops. But it's just, yeah, when the hate leads to more hate and leads to more hate and leads to more hate, just be kind. Be compassionate. Right? And hopefully we can all, you know, change and have a better place to live in.
I say it many times on the Recovery Hour, which we host from this very room, our show on recovery, mental health, and addiction, is if you want Mother Teresa's quote, she had it right, you know, on a lot of things. You want to save the world, start with your own house. But a lot of this racist stuff comes with the beliefs that you had when you were a little kid, you know? And if the parents had these beliefs and they drilled it into the kid, it's, listen, I don't want to go down that road. It's just, I know, I just wanted to acknowledge it. And say, hopefully this show will be a diversion from that. Cooper Campbell, our football buddy in Mississippi, is watching. He says the key to the Ticats is a healthy Mazzoli and Speedy B in the playoffs. That is all probably true, too. But don't forget, Dane Evans did take them to the Grey Cup last year after Mazzoli was hurt early. And Brandon Banks did a disappearing act in the Grey Cup. So clearly he is, they're both key to it. But everybody needs to be pulling on the rope. To point five of the rollout here, quick six show topics. Rollout brought to you by Flooring Superstore. Did you see this story on the CFL and the Spring League partnership? It has taken the next step.
Yeah.
In that the Spring League, which is a Spring League in America that only plays for 3 weeks, but Johnny Manziel played in it. They've approached the CFL about a partnership. Randy Ambrosi saying, this is the latest. Put it on paper. Let's see what you got. And if you actually read the story, which is up at rodpeterson.com right now, it's not a bad proposal. They're talking about moving the CFL to Vegas. That's the quarantine city. And they play all their games on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, and they play against American Spring League teams. You're going to be looking at another CFL 1995, i.e. the Spring League teams would be 100% American. The Canadian teams would be 60% American. But I think we'd take it. I don't think it's necessarily worthwhile dismissing right now today.
No, nothing's worth dismissing today. And I think it could be a great idea for the league. This is only step one or step two. I mean, answering the phone was step one. This is step two. You have to continue to, you know, explore all ideas. It doesn't cost anything to explore these ideas, right? I mean, it's just time. So I think it could be really cool. It could be a great opportunity for the league to continue to play and grow into whatever this 2.0 or 3.0 version looks like. But I love that Randy's open to all ideas. That, to me, is something positive.
The one thing Ambrosi said to the Canadian press is what he told the commissioner of the Spring League. Put it on paper so I can take this proposal to our Board of Governors to look at it. The CFL Board of Governors, I guess, will vote on this. And I have a contest.
Okay.
Contest time. And Lynch, don't say anything. The $40 gift card... Two $20 gift cards to the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. To the first person that can text in, Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777. Don't blurt it out in the comments on Facebook. Text me, who is the governor of the Saskatchewan Roughriders? Because the Board of Governors will be voting on any of these proposals. Please tell me who the governor is of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. First one through wins a $40 gift card to the Tap, and you can buy a wonderful T-Rex pizza with it this weekend. We're running out of time on the rollout here. Point six. On all of this talk, do we anticipate a problem with CFL players, i.e. the Players Association, a la baseball, that they can work out a return to play, go through all these hoops, which just seem, or barricades seem huge, and then have the players say, we're not doing it? Do you anticipate that?
No, but it's a real, very realistic possibility that the players, you know, aren't willing to come on those terms. But I don't. I think if we get down to that point and it's, hey, play, and this is how you can play or not, I think they'll play, and I think the players will play. It's a one-year, one-opportunity, one-off deal. I think they'd play. I think at the end of the day, if it meant playing for something or sitting for nothing, I think at the end of the day, they'd play. I really do.
Okay, so the answers are coming in. Tanner from White City on the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777, says Craig Reynolds. No, he is the president. I'm asking who is the governor. I want the first person to text in correctly naming the governor of the Saskatchewan Roughriders will win a $40 gift card to the Tap. Don't blurt it out on the Facebook wall. Had a nice message here from, here it is. First time tuning in to the RP show. We love you up here in Yellowknife.
Woo!
From the 209. How about that, Lynch?
Pretty good.
You're about to be big in Yellowknife.
Very impressive.
Very impressive. First, and then the person in Yellowknife just randomly texts Memphis, Birmingham, San Antonio, circa 1995. Retro. Maybe he's saying that's where the teams will be.
That's cool.
In CFL 3.0. Okay, you're going to adjourn?
Yeah.
Frenzy's in next. Got the text question going. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore, and we'll be right back. It's a Football Friday on the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and healthy.
At Capital Ford, we've taken steps to help customers with buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive at home, and let us know when you need servicing.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at CapitalFordLincoln.com.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
To the 16 guys who never back down, and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Football Friday continues. Would you mind putting up the comment, Clark, from Sal? I don't know how this came up, but Mo Lloyd writes in. The starting middle linebacker of the 07 Grey Cup champion, Saskatchewan Roughriders, says, love watching the show, Rider Nation. Mo Lloyd in Connecticut. And Sal Peasy Pugleries, if I said that right, says, love watching the show from Connecticut. Thank you, Sal. So we got two viewers, Lynch, in the state of Connecticut this morning. Isn't that something?
And there's only 500 in the whole state. 500 people in the whole state.
Is that right? Oh, we got a good batting on-base percentage there.
Mo Lloyd, pretty good football player. Pretty good linebacker.
Very good.
One of our better ones.
Hall of Famer.
Right on.
Yeah. Sports update before we get to Frenzy here and talk about his new hat. Belleville Senators forward Josh Norris has been named the American Hockey League's Rookie of the Year. He was the league's top-scoring rookie in 2019-20 with 61 points in 56 games before the AHL season was cut short by the pandemic. The 21-year-old from Oxford, Michigan, also appeared in three games with the Ottawa Senators this season. The Vegas Golden Knights' new American Hockey League team will be called the Henderson Silver Knights. The name and the team's logo were revealed during a one-hour broadcast special on Thursday evening in Vegas. Silver Knights was one of the final three names owner Bill Foley considered for his NHL franchise, along with Desert Knights. And Chase Elliott's streak of bitter defeats in NASCAR finally ended with his first Cup victory of the season. Elliott won Thursday night in the rain-delayed event at Charlotte Motor Speedway to close a brutal 12 days for NASCAR. The event was the fourth Cup race since the series resumed racing May 17th. Elliott had two frustrating losses in that span, including a defeat Sunday night in the Coca-Cola 600. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Their kitchen's open and awaiting your order. Call 761-2777 for their hours or visit their Facebook page for their menu. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Think we have a winner in our contest, so stay tuned. But John Frenzy joins us here in the Bunker, Hall of Fame Rider Broadcaster. How are you doing, Frenzy?
I'm doing great, Rod. And this hat's fantastic, eh?
Isn't it?
And I was looking forward to talking to you about it. That's the irony about it. I was going to say, where is it? Do I get it? How come I won it twice? I never got a thing. It's just a big talk and no action. Hey, this came through like this. I walk in here and I'm presented with this beautiful cap. Beautiful.
I don't know if the fellows can zoom in on that or not, but that is the hat that every day we'll be awarding. We got four boxes of these things for the rock star of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. And Roxanne and Darnell Theris are here from Rockstar in the studio, in the bunker, watching the show, Frenzy, because they wanted to present this to you live.
Great people, these two, eh?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But we only associate with great people.
That's right. And both of them.
Right.
Both of them laugh at my jokes.
Because they're all new to them. I've known your jokes for 20 years. I'm tired of them. Brady and
Saskatchewan. But one of them's come through. That's the part you can't understand.
Right.
We won't talk about that.
Brady and Saskatoon writes in and says, what's the poll for today? Obviously, Brady joined us late. I was asking for audience participation and how we were going to come up with the four finalists for our question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, and that is, which Canadian Football League head coach is under the most pressure in 2020? Craig Dickinson, Orlando Steinauer, Ryan Dinwiddie, or Rick Campbell? Right now, it's a 2-2 horse race frenzy. No! One guy's pulled out in the lead here. Who do you think it is of those four? Dickinson, Steinauer, Dinwiddie, Rick Campbell.
Oh, Steinauer for sure.
It's actually Craig Dickinson, but it's changing. It's going up and down before my eyes.
That's hard to believe. Steinauer going to the Grey Cup team. They got the Grey Cup in Hamilton. They blew it. Oh, they blew the Grey Cup last year in Calgary. Bad. 33-12. Wasn't a close game at all. And Steinauer thought he was going to win. He quoted it. He said many times he thought he was going to win. They had a 15-3 season and went in the playoffs and walked through the playoffs and went down to Calgary. Favored. But Mike O'Shea's boys were just fantastic.
They were ready to go. They weren't going to be denied that day at McMahon Stadium. So if you were to vote on the poll, you're saying it's a runaway Orlando Steinauer has the most pressure on him in 2020.
Yeah.
Okay. That's Frenzy's vote. Rack him. Before we get real serious here, the viewers are wondering what's up with your socks, friend Frenzy. Can we get a full
socks.
Bunker shot?
New socks.
You got new socks?
Yeah. Blue and white.
Pinball Clemens is going to love those when he comes on.
Yeah, I want him to see them, too.
You've got a decidedly Argos-looking outfit on today.
Can I show my shorts?
No.
There you go. There.
Look at that. There's Frenzy's shorts today, or his socks today. The gentleman is... he's alive today.
See, he's got to get to make sure Pinball sees these. Because I know Pinball pretty good. And I want to hear some of his answers.
Have you got some questions for him?
Oh, sure. What's going to happen next year in Toronto? I mean, what's happened to date? Let's get the honest truth. What's happened to date for this coming season?
In terms of what?
Personnel,
right. Because we're not going to ask him about COVID stuff and quarantine cities. You know that, right?
That's right.
But before we... Oh, here we go. Dan Millett writes in. He says, Frenzy. What a treasure.
Oh, Dan Millett's a great guy.
Do you take that as a compliment to be called the treasure?
Yes, I do. Very much so.
Okay. Because most treasures are buried. So I'm just checking on that. Frenzy, Warren Moon was on the air on Wednesday. Give us your thoughts on Warren Moon.
Yeah, I came here in 77, was a great football player for the Edmonton Eskimos, All-American, University of Washington Huskies. Nobody in the National Football League would draft Warren Moon. So he comes to Canada, and what's he do? From 78 to 82, he takes the Edmonton Eskimos to the Grey Cup. Wins 5 Grey Cups in a row. Never happened before, never happened again. 83, he gets so many offers to go to the National Football League, he does. I think he went to Green Bay where he went, but he came up, and now he's 32 years old, a rookie in the National Football League, played till he's 44, won several trophies, went to the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame, which is incredible, because he also went to the CFL Hall of Fame. Warren Moon, get this one, people, is the only man to be in both the CFL Hall of Fame and the NFL Hall of Fame, and he is a great guy and a super person, and I think he did a lot for the CFL when he was here. He could have played until he's 45, but he had one of those personal incidents, you know, that happened. He couldn't play anymore at 45, so he was done. But he had a sensational career. And he was a big play performer. That's what I loved about him. Big play performer. 5 Grey Cups in a row, he won for the Eskimos. That is tough to do.
Producer Clark wants to know, Frenzy, how many Grey Cups the Eskimos would have won in a row had Moon not left after 82?
Well, I think they would have won 2 or 3 more. No reason to think they wouldn't. They were fantastic with him. They were unbeatable with him. Makes the big play. Talk about me. He could run. Tremendous running quarterback. He knew when to run. He picked the spot. And his passing was fantastic. Great arm. Accurate. 30, 40 yards, just like that. He was one of the greats to play in the CFL, and we're lucky to have had him as long as we did. There was some talk in Hamilton to make him honor his contract, or in Montreal, in Edmonton, I should say, when he wanted to go to the States after the 82 season. There was talk that we should make him honor his contract and stay until the 85 season, but Norm Kimball, great guy, Norm Kimball, one of the greats of the CFL, felt sorry for Warren, thought he had a great opportunity there, and said, no, we're going to let Warren Moon go to the National Football League because of what he's done, not only for the Eskimos, but for the CFL. And most people would agree with that play.
We've got a new young fan. His name's Connor in Yorkton. He didn't know who Warren Moon was on Wednesday, so we've educated him. He's asked who you are, Frenzy, so we will tell him that this is a Hall of Fame Saskatchewan Rough Riders broadcaster John Lynch, Connor. So just sit back and entertain, be entertained by Frenzy. John Bulkey's watching. He says, how does a guy get a hat like Lynch is wearing? Well, John, you have to be the rock star supply chain solutions rock star of the day.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And Frenzy's won it every Friday, but one.
Come on the set. You got to get invited to come here. And when you're here, perform. I don't know what it is because I don't know who the panel is. I keep asking Rod, who is the panel? He won't say it, but he said they're all pretty sharp people. And they got different ideas what they want. So I guess I've been able to satisfy three of them, or four of them.
The viewers vote, John. That's huh? The viewers
oh,
vote.
Oh, I didn't know that's the viewers voting.
Yes.
Oh, this is honest. This is great. This is right.
It's not a Rudy Poo vote.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm really impressed with that then. That's amazing. Well, it was a good choice for the viewers, but I think that's wonderful. I'm quite flattered.
Joe Lazito is watching on Long Island. He's one of your biggest fans, Long Island, New York, friends, and he wants to know who you think is better, Doug Flutie, in their CFL career, Doug Flutie or Warren Moon?
Well, they're both great football players. Flutie was terrific, but obviously Warren Moon. Five Grey Cups in a row, I mean, can't beat that.
That's it.
Warren Moon.
I'm starting to think you're right. I mean, I looked at Flutie, won Grey Cups with Calgary, the Argos, MVP of the league six times.
Yeah.
He's no Morley boy.
Oh, that's for sure. No Morley boy. It would be him hands down if it wasn't for the fact that Warren Moon is alive. And from 78 to 82, the guy was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Once in a while, Wilkinson would get in, but not very often. Tom Wilkinson himself was a pretty good football player. He was the backup quarterback for the Eskimos then.
So Pinball Clemens is coming up on the program in about 10 minutes time. We've got a viewer writing in, Tony Falcone, wants to know who's going to start on the offensive line for the Argos, and furthermore says, are you looking at any USFL players? You got to be specific, Tony. The USFL has not played for 30 years, right?
That's right.
Do you mean XFL players, Tony?
He means the XFL.
You must, but I'm not going to assume anything. Because you know what happens when you do that.
He means the XFL.
He must.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk that some of those XFL players that were released, well, they weren't released. League went shut down. League gave up, shut down completely a month ago because of pinball because of pandemic. Pandemic. So there's a lot of players out there, and apparently Vince Young has said, Vince McMahon has said that he still might be interested in football. He loves wrestling, but he just looks this thing as an unbelievable bad incident, this epidemic we have right now. One of those things. So he says come January of next year, he might be ready to look at it again. That's hard to say, though. I don't know. He's got a big lawsuit there with Oliver Quickly.
Oliver Luck.
Oliver Luck, who's a commissioner. He signed a 10-year contract with no silly clause in, I guess. And obviously, it's the league's been down, shut down. It's not going to be in action again. But Oliver Luck wants to get some more money for his commissioner's duties, like for about 10 years. And McMahon says, no way. So they got a lawsuit going on there. So a lot of extra things happen when you lose a situation like that, when you lose the whole league and the commissioner loses his job. He loses his job. I mean, it was just an unbelievable situation there. So. It'll be interesting to see what happens there, but I don't think much will happen to those guys that were in that league. They'll all go to the National Football League or try, and I think a lot of them will come to Canada. It's going to be a good year for the CFL to find players.
16 or 17, last I heard, players went from the XFL to the National Football League, including P.J. Walker, the star quarterback of the Houston Roughnecks, which if they'd finished the season, probably would have been named the MVP.
Yes.
And he's going to be a backup with the Carolina Panthers.
P.J. Walker is terrific.
Jeff, the Stamps fan's up and watching it. He says, didn't McMahon say he wasn't interested in a relaunch? Initially, he did the day they filed for bankruptcy, but there's been stories, and they're not hard to find online, that he's now trying to buy the league back, I guess from the receiver, at pennies on the dollar, or 10 cents on the dollar. So, as Gary Etcheverry says, never's a long time. Didn't you just say that? The league will never come back?
Yeah.
Never's a long time.
Yep.
It was 19 years in between incarnations for the XFL. I don't think it'll be that long this time.
Well, Americans are determined to make that league go. And it's failed four times now because fans don't want to go to the games. They don't.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. Well, St. Louis was averaging over 40,000 fans a game.
Who was?
The St. Louis, what were they, Destroyers? In the Trans World Dome. This year.
I doubt that very much. Then they
Battlehawks. Thank you, Clark.
Yeah, but it was proven they were a phony count. Counting double in there. Pulling some little hand.
Oh, Lynch, you're just, you're just being a negative Nelson.
Under the table tricks there. I don't think they will at all. I don't think they'll come back at all. Because it's crazy. But the biggest weakness is simple. You got to have a first-rate quarterback. And there's only about two or three quarterbacks. Well, there's only one, really. Walker, the one guy that Rod mentioned here. P.J. Walker, he was sensational. He's from Temple University, where he broke all of Henry Burris' passing records. And he is really a phenomenal football player. And he would be great in this league.
Accuracy, well, there's no doubt.
Speed, could run, throw the ball and run. Accuracy, unbelievable accuracy. He would have been great for this league. I'm surprised he's not in the National Football League. He's got a chance.
Well, he is now.
Yeah.
But
I think he's got a good chance of making it.
It was you or somebody said, maybe the CFL will find a player from the XFL. And I said, these guys, some of them are going to be going to the NFL. There will be a ton going to the CFL if we have a league. And in the time we have left in this segment, which is a good amount of time, what are your pundits and friends saying about the future of the CFL? Because, John, with the XFL folding and the Alliance folding and the NFL Europe hasn't been around for years, there's got to be some developmental football league, a pro football league, preferably on this continent. I mean, it can't go down. I'm just wondering what your friends are saying.
Well, there's some like Lip and Shepard who are pretty realistic about things that think it's very tough out there, and they'll understand what goes on. A lot of them can't live. The real diehard Rider fans, they've had football all their life, Rough Rider football all their life, like I have, since I was born. It's very hard to take. I don't like Ambrose's attitude. I don't think he's fighting hard enough. He's almost conceding when you talk to him. It's a done deal, but the league is gone. People are hoping, the fans that I talked to, and a bunch of them last night, are hoping it survived because they want to see it. And they think it should be there this year. And then in 21, be bigger and better again. And one guy last night brought something to my attention. He says, after the team folded in 1944 after the World War, they came back in 45. Yeah, they came back in 1945, but barely. They're hardly alive. Didn't play very impressive. They came back in 46, a bit better. 47, not too bad. 48, with Calgary getting stronger. Riders got stronger, too. And they came out of the doldrums, and that's when the league took off. But it's you don't. What his statement to me was, when you lose something like the league, a team like the Riders, very hard to get them all back. When you've let them go, you let them go all free, and you want to get them back the next year, the chances are tough. So he's really, really pleading to the Rough Riders to just give it all they got and talk to all the other teams in the league, which I think is happening now. I think finally the teams are talking to each other, that there's a good chance that it might survive, and I hope it does. We need it.
It seems to be that way, but I caution people of making any hard and fast decisions as we sit here today. And I want to interject. Tyler Dacu, our social media technician, writes in and he says, according to Forbes magazine, St. Louis averaged 29,500 fans per game. By comparison, the CFL's average attendance is under 23,000, Frenzy. So there's that. And I think St. Louis went above 40,000 on one occasion, but their average attendance was 29.5. But when I caution people to make any hard and fast decisions right now, I'm watching the three down segment on TSN with Farhan Lalji and Dave Naylor, two insiders. And they said that the governors are considering Western CFL cities adopting Eastern teams, moving everybody out to the West. Well, on Monday on this show, Randy Ambrosi said they don't want to do that because they want to cut down travel. So I wouldn't call it fake news, but there is a hell of a lot of misinformation out there.
That's right, misinformation. I just wish they could realize how badly the people want it in Calgary, Edmonton.
Well, I think they do know that. Huh? I think they do know
that. Well, I hope they do. And if they know that, then they got to make it happen. I hearken back to the days of my old buddy, eh?
Which one?
Bill Baker, not Bill Baker, Shepard.
Yeah.
I mean, when things were tough, Tom Shepard made it happen. And that's what you got to have, a guy who's running the team and in that area, in a key position, a bunch of them that'll make things happen. They can't say, well, there's some objectives out there that we can't get over. Well, that's tough. You know, you got to just do it to make it happen. You got to get around them, under them, top of them to make things happen. And people want to see football. It'll be a terrible September, October. Can you imagine the Labor Day weekend?
No.
It'll be awful if there's no football. People will go up there and sit there anyway, if they're allowed to.
Well, you would. But let's not forget, this is, it's not a football show, but it's where our bread is buttered. I had one CFL heavyweight yesterday say, your show is the preeminent voice of pro football in Canada. So that was nice.
Yeah.
But while you're upset, and all of us CFL lovers are, what about Stanley Cup playoffs that aren't happening at the moment, or NBA, or the WCBL season being canceled?
Yeah, it's tough.
It's not just this league. Everybody's going through it.
Yeah, it's tough. Very tough. Very tough, and I hope we can get around it. People love their sports. I didn't realize how much the Canadian people love their sports, but they really thrive on it.
Well, Americans even more so,
yeah,
quite
Americans
frankly.
Even more so, but the Canadians really want it. I'm glad to see it. I hope, as a Canadian, a bunch of Canadians will band together, the powers that be and the teams, to make sure we have football starting on Labor Day.
We'll be back with Mike Pinball Clemens and more of your questions and comments. We're just getting rolling on a football Friday. By the way, Super Bowl champion, Grey Cup champion, Yo Murphy's going to be with us from Tampa Bay later on today. Kamloops Blazers goalie Dylan Guerin. Hang on. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Football Friday continues. We have a winner, Frenzy. $40 gift card to the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Tanner in White City was the first to correctly identify Randy Beatty as the governor of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
How about that?
Randy Beatty. Tanner will be in contact and be shipping you out your gift cards to the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster John Frenzy with us. I just want to read the bio of our next guest, Mike Pinball Clemens, the general manager of the Toronto Argonauts. Some in the business world call it a CV. I don't even know what that stands for. Resume. Six-time Grey Cup champion. Did you know that, Frenzy?
No, I sure didn't.
was in the National Football League with the Kansas City Chiefs and Tampa Bay Buccaneers before coming north to the CFL in 1989, where he spent until 2000, was a three-time divisional All-Star, two-time All-Canadian. Bob Obelovich, I believe, gave him the nickname Pinball. We got to ask him about that. And went from being a player to a coach within the span of a week. We're going to ask him about that. Tom Pate Memorial Award for Community Man of the Year, CFL Most Outstanding Player in 1990. The list is endless. His number 31, retired by the Toronto Argonauts, went into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame in 2008. So, we're deeply honored to have Pinball with us on video chat this morning. There he is. Now, Pinner, is that your home or your office with that beautiful Argos logo on the ceiling there?
The Argos logo isn't on the ceiling, but it is firmly implanted on the chest here. This is my home, yes.
How you doing, Pinner?
You know what? Doing wonderful, thank you. How are you?
Oh, we're good out here. We're good out here. We're getting ready for some football. And let me ask you this. What's it been? 6-7 months on the job for you? Pandemic aside, how's it been?
You know what? It's been steady for us. We've got a lot of work to do, as referenced by our record the last couple of years, and we feel that we have done much of that work for this coming season, and so we're looking forward to being able at some point to get out on the field and get a little bit more balancing act of where we are. You always feel a little bit better about the work you've done than your record usually indicates ultimately when you're in this phase, in a building phase of things. So we are excited about things as they go, though. And we also, though, want to really thank all of the first responders and the people who are out there on the front lines who are doing so much great work for us to be able to get back to a position to be able to play.
Pinner, there's a lot of questions are coming in from the viewers, so I'm going to get to those in a minute. Obviously, I've got a few. I've been beating the drum for years that you should have a significant role with the Argos, but I also knew you were doing just fine in your other roles. So when this came up in January, was it a hard sell for you to take this GM role or not? I never asked you how it came about.
Well, it was a difficult thing. I was asked about it originally last, I believe it was July, and I said no again in September. I said no again, and then finally took the position in October. I really enjoy and admire all the work our legendary Jim Pop, our GM, had done, and so really appreciated him. And so this was a difficult thing for that, if no other reason. But as well, you know, we had a very full life and things were going very well. I had started coaching unexpectedly, and I said that I wasn't going to do it forever because I have witnessed many coaches who are father figures to their players but don't know their own kids, and it can be all-encompassing. We love it and we're passionate about it and all of those things, but those things can be dangers as well. And so with three girls in our house, I stopped coaching when my oldest daughter started high school, and I became the GM when my youngest daughter actually finishes high school this year. So we got at least the girls all through school, and the older two are finished university now. So we're very lucky and grateful just to have a wonderful family, and football is my extended family.
Well, here's the thing, Michael, that I don't think people would understand. They see you from afar, but they don't realize you've been counted out, discounted your whole life, all because of your size, of course. But here now, this is the question I'm dying to ask you, because some of the football guys are saying, he's never been a GM, he's never been a scout, he can't do this. And I'm like, I would think that's music to Pinball's ears, the challenge of this. Your thoughts on that?
I would say very simply that they're right. right? And I don't have, you know, any real rebuttal there. So for me, if you're the smartest guy in the room, it's your own fault. As a coach, I think we went to the division final six consecutive times, and I think the longest streak that the Argos have had in going to the division final in the modern era. And it wasn't because of me. It was because we had good people around us. If nothing else, I understand my own insignificance. And so I understand how important I'm not. And so this is not about me. It's about us as the Argos, as a team, and building bridges, not fences. And so a big bridge was developing that team around me, which starts with our director of player personnel, John Murphy, and then going on and having the opportunity to add Ryan Dinwiddie as our new head coach, and then the staff that he's put together of veterans that have just so much talent laid in there. And then as we begin to build the team, it all has to come together. When we went to those six straight division finals and I was the first person of color to win the Grey Cup, it wasn't because of Michael Clemens or pinball. It was because we had a great team of players, coaches, and staff around us. And that's the same thing we plan on doing here.
Of course, pinball, but my thing on that, now, maybe you've never done this before, but what I say to them is, pinball has been a success at every single thing he's ever done, and I called your very last game. It was Riders at Skydome, which I think the farewell ceremony to you just wrapped up, and you went to coaching. Do you remember that? And you went to coaching the next week, and you got the team in the playoffs. I mean, if you can do that, I would think you could do this. And plus, you mentioned Murph, who I have all the time in the world for. So it is a great team that you've assembled out there. But you mentioned Dinwiddie. Love dinner, too.
Yeah.
And here's the football people. Oh, he's not ready. Oh, he's taking too much credit for Bo Levi. And I'm like, if not now for Ryan, when? Like, he's going to be a head coach. I think you kind of got to know him to realize he is ready for this.
You do, and I have to say, there's from when we hired him as a coach till now, there are so many layers that I've got. The best people I've ever been around, you continue to learn different things about them. Oh, I didn't know you could do this. I didn't know you were qualified here. His understanding of personnel, the level of detail that he exercises in knowing and understanding the different guys who are coming into the league, for example, as it relates to our Canadian draft. He's not just concerned with the team that he's putting on the field. He's very learned. He is he has that unique ability to be both a leader and a friend. Some people are challenged by that. They can only do one or the other. But he can be a friend and casual, and you know, 3 minutes later he can say, let's get to work, right? And people can respect that. So we're understanding that this is his first year. We are in a building phase, and we do believe that he will make some mistakes. But we also believe that he has the ability to become one of the best head coaches in this league, and when that happens, he's still going to be making mistakes. That's just a part of the process there. So we couldn't be more excited about our team, and you know, as you referenced in terms of my own experience here, you know, I don't think people remember necessarily the fact that I was a de facto GM in 2003 when I had when we were under receivership. We end up, you know, a lot of the hard work had been done already to that point, but we had to engineer, and we actually end up coming one play away from the Grey Cup in 2003 before we won it in 2004. And we had a makeshift staff where we had to let go our GM, so it was a challenge. Let's just say that. And so you do have some experience in terms of constructing a team, how it's constructed, and those kinds of things. But in no right do I want to suggest at all that I have the necessary experience. What I am pretty good at, though, is in understanding how important I'm not and making sure around ourselves to get the job done.
Thanks very much. Pinball John Lynch here. Just wondering what the fans in Toronto now. It's been hard to get them to come to the games. I know a lot of them that I've talked to are very enthused about you coming back to the sidelines. So what's the situation? How's it been so far?
John, we've had a great, just a real great reception. People have been very kind and generous, and I want to thank you, though, specifically. You are the reason. You and so many other great Canadians like you are the ones who exhibit that passion. And specifically in Toronto, it's not easy to be a Toronto Argonaut fan in many instances. And so when you have Argo fans in Toronto, they hear all the different things that are said. And when you have an Argo fan and a Canadian Football League fan in Toronto, they are ardent. They have heard all the things. In many ways, it's easier to be a Canadian Football League fan and a fan of your team in some of our other markets. Here, it's not the easiest thing. We have some of the most dedicated fans, and we're so grateful. We also have some work to do, though, and we need to understand that as well, that we need to be more attractive to a younger audience. We need to start earlier, and football needs to be cool again to young people who are in grade school, in high school, in university, and the like. So we have some work to do in that construct, and we embrace that, but we believe part of that is being competent, consistently competent on the field. You know, we've won two Grey Cups in the last 8 years, but the reality is even those Grey Cup teams were challenged a good part of the season. We had two 9-9 teams. The last two times we won the cup, our teams have been 9-9 and really come back in the second half. So I think we had 2-7, and the other start was a challenging start, maybe 3-6. So even then, there wasn't a lot of momentum in the couple of times that we've won the Grey Cup in the last 8 years. And so we've got lots of work to do, but MLSE is the best possible organization that we can have in order to do that. So we don't feel like it's a mountain, but it's not a molehill either. It's somewhere in between, and MLSE helps us to cover that gap, and will do so very readily. So thank you for your support, and continue to beat the drum, because the beat is getting a little bit more consistent in this marketplace.
We have a viewer, I believe he's in the States, Tony Falcone. He has sent in a litany of personnel questions. I'm just going to ask you two. One is, has there been a resolution to the TJ Jones case? And two, are you still looking for players at this time?
There has not been a resolution, and if there has been a resolution, is unfavorable at this point. So there has been a tentative indication that the last proposal that's been put forward by the league has been declined by the Players Association. So from that standpoint, no, we don't have anything definitive. And are we looking for players? Our challenge here in that you always are interested in great players. That is what we do. That is who we are. Doesn't matter whether it's preseason, postseason, the offseason, before a game, after a game. We're always looking for players. That is our business. There is a feeling that rosters may be shortened even before the season begins. So the normal 100 plus non-counters that we are able to bring in may be reduced itself. And so we already have signed more players than we may be able to bring to camp. So we aren't doing very much during this period. We're really accumulating information and trying to wait to see what we're going to be allowed to do in terms of the number of players we're going to be able to bring into camp this year.
I'm going to combine these last two, and then we're going to let you go, Pinball. One, Hank thinks players will be, Henry Burris, will be reluctant to come up here if the salaries are shortened. I don't. Henry would know better. He was an American football player, but I just think there's enough guys that want to play ball. But I think Brady Witt from Saskatoon, young kid, high school kid, who's out of school because of the pandemic, Pinner, wants to know where you got the nickname Pinball. So let's end with that because it's a wonderful story.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. I went for 24 years without a nickname. Everybody tried to give me a nickname. Dyna Mike was something that they sort of put in the newspaper one time, but nothing ever stuck. And I was here one week, and the coach says, we had a goal line scrimmage, and so they had the first defense, and so I was one of the rookies. So we're out there as fresh meat for the first defense, and so we went out there, and just as supposed to happen, as soon as I touched the ball, I got hit. But I didn't fall down. I ran around the end and I scored. And this is usually a good thing. But the head coach isn't concerned about, you know, this little guy here or the offense. He's concerned about his first defense. And so, like any coach in North America, he says, do it again. And so we did it again. And this time, as soon as I got the ball, I almost, the defender almost got to the ball before the quarterback gave, he almost beat the quarterback to me. And so soon as I actually got it, it got hit. And I bounced off and I ran around the other end and I scored again. He said, hey, little guy, get out of my drill. And I never had to run the scout team again since then. And he made the statement to the media that we have this new guy that bounces around like a pinball. And it stuck.
And it was Obi, right? Was it not Obi?
Obilovich, yes. Whose favorite saying is better's better. Yes.
That's right. Oh, I thought Bob Vespasiani came up with that. He stole it from Obi. Yeah, that makes sense. Better is better. That's what Bobby V used to always say. Pinball, thanks for the time. Yes. So great to see your face again. And here's hoping you're on the boys are on the field sooner than later.
Great to see you.
All right.
Again.
Thanks so much. Thank you, John.
There you go. The great Michael Pinball Clemens, Hall of Famer. And it's about time he's great, involved with the Argos in a significant way.
No question about it. How about that interview?
We must take a break and come back with hour two. We got Yo Murphy, Super Bowl champion, Grey Cup champion, going to join us from Tampa Bay. And Kamloops Blazers goalie Dylan Guerin. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and staying healthy.
At Capital GMC, we've taken steps to help customers who are buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive from home, or let us know if you need service work.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at capitalgmc.ca.
Stay safe,
be kind to each other,
and wash your hands.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West. to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.